Welcome to Mean Age Daydream with me, Brian McWilliams, where we're going to be making some jokes, laughing out at broken world, but also laying out the philosophy for the future, how we can fix this mess we're in and have a great time doing it all with a Mean Age Daydream. Hey, 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 welcome everybody to a brand new Mean Age Daydream, although this is going to be a continuation, a new show, but a continued theme, because I'm joined once again with the great Brandon Joe Williams. Brandon, welcome back, buddy.
Hello, hello. I was told that the receipt of our last show was very positive, and I want to thank your audience very, very much for that positivity. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, man. I think people are just kind of blown away because, as you mentioned, our audience usually dips their toes in the waters of the evils of government without realizing just how deep that well goes. Now, before we get into our conversation, I do want to remind people, if you didn't see part one of this, go back, watch it. We talk about basically what's going on with citizenship. We talk about nationality. We talk about a tax doppelganger that you're essentially been bought into when you join the workforce. All sorts of fascinating topics on just how you've been brought into, as you called it, the matrix of the government. Anything you want to add to that? And then I'm going to give people the rundown of who you are to remind them.
No, that's yeah, it's just, contracts are the Lord when it comes to the law. And when you understand the basics of how all that works, you have the power in your hand. It's really not anything like what people thought. We don't live in an involuntary system. We live in a system where you are being coerced to voluntarily contract in a certain way. And when you understand the terms and you understand how that works, it's very, very easy to manage and handle. That's nothing worth getting too riled up about. It's very simple.
There you go. But still, it's not that simple. Go listen to part one. Now, Brandon Joe Williams is a state national, a common law lawyer, and an author. He has two different books you guys can find, Don't Be a Slave to Your Clients and Love is a Battery. And you can find an additional document we're going to talk about a little bit later today, in addition to supportive documents for the conversation, at the greatest website ever, onestupidfuck.com. That is not a joke. That is his website. So please join me there. And also, you are the founder of the Amnesty Coalition, a group that aims to address the slave state framework created by the contracts you discussed. So
this is my flag right here.
Talents. Yeah.
This is my brand new flag right here. It's based off of a Where's Waldo theme. And this is literally our flag. You can buy a flag on my website.
I love it.
We have a full-blown flag. Now we're going to create a coat of arms, and then I have a friend of mine over at the People's Republic of Slojamistan. This is the passport, and I am going to be making my own passports eventually. It's the first time I've announced this. It's going to take me some time to put that all together. It's not going to happen overnight, but I will be issuing my own passports eventually as well. So a lot of exciting things are happening.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if the Amnesty Coalition, if we talked about that at all the last time you were on. I don't think we really got into it at all. If you want to just do a quick 5-minute rundown.
Yeah, it's really simple. Like on the last show, we went into the definition of naturalization, which is the conferring of nationality of a state upon a person after birth by any means whatsoever. And we went into the definition of the word state, the definition of the word nation, and making your own nation is as simple as literally just saying it. And then as long as that nation is at peace in accordance with the definition of foreign government from 18 USC 11, it says right in 18 USC 11. I don't think I covered this on the last show. I'd rather show it if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't like to just say it. I prefer to always show. So I just did a screen share. And if we do 18 USC 11, foreign government defined, you'll see here the term foreign government includes any government, faction, or body of insurgents within a country with which the United States is at peace. Here's the most important part. Irrespective of recognition by the United States. So you'll see a lot of media now talking about how these micronations are not recognized by the United States. That is completely irrelevant. Has absolutely nothing to do with the conversation at all whatsoever, it being recognized by any country or nation. What does matter, and the only thing that matters, is that it's at peace. And if you look up the definition of the word peace, let me see if I've got it here. Peace. There we go. Peace, the definition, is the tranquility enjoyed by a political society, internally by the good order which reigns among its members, and externally by the good understanding it has with all other nations. Applied to the internal regulations of a nation, peace imports, which means indicates or shows, in a technical sense, not merely a state of repose and security as opposed to one of violence or warfare, but likewise a state of public order and decorum. And this is why in diplomatic relations, if you look inside of a lot of diplomatic manuals and stuff like that, they have how to introduce someone to somebody else, how to dress, how to tie your tie, how to put on a blazer, where to sit. They have actual graphs as to where each individual sits at a dinner table, depending on how many seats and the shape of the table. They have information on opening a door for a woman. This is literally an entire, very, very verbose technology. And as long as that technology is followed, and as long as that technology is understood, then you are considered to be at peace. And as long as you are at peace and you are operating with good, a good moral stature and decorum and public, you know, stature, decorum, then, you are at peace and you do not need recognition. Literally is not part of the equation at all. It's like salt plus meat equals dish. And somebody's like, oh wait, it needs olives. No, That doesn't have anything to do with anything. Recognition or somebody saying yes, or somebody acknowledging your foreign government or your private nation has absolutely nothing to do with anything. What matters is peace. Peace is defined by diplomatic relations, active diplomatic relations. So if you were passive and you weren't doing anything with your nation was not improving the world or connecting with other nations in a positive way, you put the idea of the existence of your nation at risk. That's why all of these nonprofit organizations and organizations like GMOs or GNOs or whatever, or NGOs or whatever the hell they're called. That's why they always have some kind of diplomatic activities going on, because that is what the actual spinal cord of what makes that a foreign nation or foreign government or nation.
That's interesting. Yeah, I never thought about the non-governmental organizations. I never thought about it in that way before until you just brought it up. That's fascinating. Well, so let's move on then to the meat and potatoes of this and talk about separating yourself from the matrix, from the contracts, getting out of these things which we've been lured into. You know, as we mentioned in the last show, many of us didn't realize that we got looped into the tax system voluntarily by filling out a form when you first start working. You first check a box and now they got you. So
you elected, I don't know. Yes.
Yeah, you elected to be screwed the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So I don't know where you want to start as far as the disconnection and checking out and make yourself a separate, as I said, like either a state national or how you do it.
Yeah. So I'll do another screen share and I'll just kind of give you my idea. So there's a lot of different ways to quote disconnect from the system, quote unquote. But keep in mind, in order to have your own nation, in order to have a foreign government, you do have to have active and I would consider even effective international diplomatic relations. International means inter-nation all. So it doesn't mean in between you and some foreign country like France. It just means in between you and any other group of individuals that are operating with good internal tranquility, and they would like to operate with good external tranquility, right? International relations is actually what everyone's involved in. They just don't know it. It's when you get down into the domestic relations, which you think you're in, which you're not, that's where the problems occur, right? It's all international. Everything is international. And when you think about it that way, it doesn't make more sense, okay? So the first thing is the definition of the word money. So we live in a commercial world. And in my opinion, yeah, you can write affidavits and you can do a lot of cool things, kind of like what I was showing you in the last video. But if you want to go to level 2 or level 3, or I don't even know, much higher level, you start to operate using commercial means and financial means. There's, in my opinion, at this point in my research, there's nothing more powerful than understanding finances, because everything is ultimately some sort of financial transaction. And when you understand how to perform using finances, for example, you can get people out of prison. You could never, ever go to prison. There are penal bonds that are financial that you can learn how to perform on and discharge them. So there's a lot of information when you learn how to operate using financials. In my opinion, that's the top tier at this point in my research. So I'll show you this. So money, if you look at Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution, money is defined as the following. No state shall, and there's a whole bunch of different things listed here. But one of the things listed, and that's why I have the three dots. So if you want to look up all the different things that they say no state shall, look that up for yourself because there's a lot of them. But one of the items that they talk about is make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt, right? Hmm. And if you look at tender is a very, very specific definition. Exchange and diplomatic relations and finance, all of these terms are actually very fascinating and very interesting and very true and very functional and very good, actually. So the definitions of tender are the offer of performance, not performance itself. And when unjustifiably refused, places other party in default and permits party making tender to exercise remedies for breach of contract. So what does that mean? If you extend your arm and you offer something of value, you are tendering that thing. You are offering performance of that thing. Or even if it's a performance contract, if you show up and it's like you're supposed to dig a hole and you show up with a shovel and you're ready to dig the hole and they say no, you tendered performance and they said no. So tender is not only applicable to financials. Tender is actually applicable to any performance of anything. And payment, the word payment actually means performance, which is very, very interesting. It means performance on a duty, obligation, or contract. So people think that payment means to give these green things in your pocket called Federal Reserve notes to somebody else. That's not necessarily what payment means. Payment means performance. So when you realize all the different ways that you can perform, you can pay in many, many different ways, which is something I'm going to show you today because that's where the real power is, right? Mm-hmm. Another definition of tender is an offer of money, the act by which one produces and offers to a person holding a claim or demand against him the amount of money which he considers and admits to be due in satisfaction of such claim or demand without any stipulation or condition. So what does that mean? If you do a job for me and you're like, it's going to be $20,000. And I'm like, well, hold on a second there, bucko. That's more like a $12,000 job. And I extend without any stipulation or condition, a $12,000 payment. I've technically tendered. And I know there's some dickheads out there that are going to say, ooh, and they're going to scratch their hands together. But that's where litigation comes into play, is to figure out exactly what the value of these various things are and that kind of thing, right? But tender is the offer without condition or stipulation, essentially. That's what tender means, right? So no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. So what they're trying to say, as far as I'm concerned, is it trying to say that no state shall, and the term United States is by definition a state, by the way. It's a state located in the District of Columbia. So people get a little confused on that. So no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin an unconditional offer in the performance of settling debts is really how you would actually read this, okay? And then we have here another definition of money is in usual and ordinary acceptation. It means gold, silver, or paper money used as a circulating medium of exchange. Now, this is the most important part here, and does not embrace notes, bonds, evidences of debt, or other personal or real estate. Okay. If you go to the Bill of Exchange Act of 1882 and you scroll down in the definition section, we have here bill means bill of exchange, and note means promissory note, right? And then we go to looking up what we have in our wallets. We have these things, Federal Reserve note. So if note means promissory note, and the definition of money says it does not embrace notes, that means Federal Reserve notes are not by definition money. So then we ask ourselves, okay, if Federal Reserve notes are not money, what are they? And the answer to that question, it comes from UCC, which is the Uniform Commercial Code, Article 3, Section 104. And it says here, negotiable instruments are either an unconditional promise to pay or an unconditional order to pay, right? Mm-hmm. And basically, it's very, very simple. An unconditional promise to pay is a promissory note, and an unconditional order to pay is a bill of exchange. That's it. There's only two types of negotiable instruments, okay? And you can see that in UCC 3-102 is very clear. This article applies to negotiable instruments. It does not apply to money. So money is gold and silver coins. Negotiable instruments are things like promissory notes and bills of exchange. A Federal Reserve note is a promissory note. So the way that works is very simple, actually. If you go to the Uniform Commercial Code, Article 3, and we go down to let's see here, blank endorsement, special endorsement, 3-205. Okay. So the way this works is this, right? So let's say you have a car promissory note. Let's say a CarMax promissory note.
Perfect. Right. I've got one of those. Keep going.
Good. So if you've ever bought a car from CarMax, you signed a promissory note, right? Now, that promissory note has the same value in law as Federal Reserve notes. So what happened was you signed that promissory note using a blank endorsement, okay? Now, what that means is that you just signed using your name or some squiggle or your initials or some cursive or whatever, right? Now, what that means is a blank endorsement. What that means is UCC 3, let's see here, UCC 3-205. If we go here and here and here, and then we go to payable to bear or to order. So we have here, right? So let's say you have a check picture. Your check has certain wording on it, okay? And that wording is always going to be the same, okay? And if you look on your checkbook at home, you'll see here where it says the payee right here, it'll always say this, pay to the order of, okay? Mm-hmm. And that comes from the Bill of Exchange Act of 1882, right? That wording, pay to the order of, right? And it also says in the Bill of Exchange Act that the whatever the amount is on the draft, this is a draft, it has to be in figures and words. We can see that by typing in the word figures. You have the word figures. Maybe it's in a different one here. But where the sum payable is expressed in words and also in figures, and there is a discrepancy between the two, the sum denoted by the words is the amount payable, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say, for example, in the words section where you write it in words or figures, that one is senior over what's written in the box in numbers. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if you look, I forget which section it is. Maybe it's in UCC 3. You have to write it in figures and words, right? So that's why you have to write it in numbers here, and then also in words here, and then the words are actually the senior aspect to what this negotiable instrument is. This is an unconditional order to pay. You are ordering the bank to pay. By definition, a check, when it's filled out, is a bill of exchange. Now, check this out. Pay to the order of, right? You put in here Starbucks Incorporated or Happy Bakery, you know, or whatever it is, or someone's name, Brandon Joe Williams or whatever, right? Now, what you don't realize is that you can actually write the word bearer in here. Mm. Now, bearer means that anyone who holds this negotiable instrument has the value of this negotiable instrument, right? Now, just to be clear, the word instrument is very, very generic. It means like deed or contract or security. The word negotiable just means exchangeable, okay? Not negotiable or having to do with negotiations or anything like that, right? When you say the word negotiation in banking terminology, that means the way in which something is exchanged or released or eliminated, meaning like if I were to write instructions as to it can go only here, and then after that, that's it, it can't go anywhere else. That's called a restrictive endorsement. So the negotiability of that instrument has been restricted. Mm. It's banking terminology. Stuff they'll never teach you anywhere because they don't want you knowing any of this, right? So pay to the order of, if you write the word bearer on that line and you put the date and you put $10 and you write in here $10 in words and figures, and then you endorse it, which means sign it here, okay? You just actually legally manufactured your own cash because that is now a $10 bill of exchange. Or if you were to shorten the word bill of the term bill of exchange, a $10 bill. You just legally created your own cash. Now, as long as people believe that that bill of exchange can transfer through many, many hands as the bearer, and nobody ever goes to the bank and deposits that bill of exchange, that bill of exchange can float through the society forever. And that's exactly what a Federal Reserve note is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was thinking that's exactly true, because God forbid nobody ever actually gets to go and exchange them for the actual money in the bank, the gold and silver. It's not there. It's just passing through trust exactly the same way. Yeah.
Well, that's a little bit complicated. The one subject that the government is truly insane on is the subject of gold and silver coins, right? Because there's been so much suppression in that area. And if you look at 12 USC 411, you can see here, and if you tried to do this, I don't know what would happen. This is basically an area of complete insanity. And the reason why is because the Federal Reserve does not want people to be exchanging gold and silver coins. It stabilizes the currency too much. It basically ruins their whole game, right?
Right.
But if you look at 12 USC 411, you can see here that the Federal Reserve notes are obligations of the United States, which is actually very fascinating, right? Now you can plug that in multiple different ways. You can plug that in where we found the location of the person called United States. Remember that? Location of United States. The United States is located in the District of Columbia. Now, because United States...
But the corporation of the United States
yes.
is located, right, yeah.
Now, the definition of person includes corporation, if you remember that one from the last one. Just in case somebody missed that, I'm going to show you that very rapidly in the Internal Revenue Code, the definition of the word person, 26 USC 7701 subsection 1. The term person shall be construed to mean and include an individual, a trust, estate, partnership, association, company, or corporation, right? Now, this is very, very interesting because the United States is a person. When they say location of debtor, they're saying where is the location of the person, the debtor, called United States. All Federal Reserve notes shall be obligations of the person called United States. Mm-hmm. And you can see that again in 18 USC 8. If you go to 18 USC 8, which is probably one of the craziest things ever, it says that the term obligation or other security of the United States includes all bonds, certificates of indebtedness, national bank currency, Federal Reserve notes, Federal Reserve bank notes, coupons, United States notes, treasury notes, gold certificates, silver certificates, fractional notes, certificates of deposits, bills, checks, drafts for money. So what that means is that you don't have any bills. All your bills, including your phone bill, including your credit card bill, it's all obligations or other securities of the United States. Those are the United States obligations. They're not yours.
Yeah.
And that's why they created the all caps name corporation. The all caps name corporation is their child that represents and handles and is the managing flow line centerpiece for obligations or other securities of the United States. You could literally just disconnect yourself from all of this and just let them have that all caps name, and the entire system would run the same with or without you to some degree. You're essentially kind of like flowing your energy into this like machine that cannot manufacture its own energy, essentially. It's kind of like the movie The Matrix. Mm-hmm. When you see all the babies and they're plugged into those pods, you're basically plugged into the system, and the system needs your electrical energy to operate, right? But the thing is that that all caps name is basically just a child, essentially, of the United States, a corporation child, because a corporation is a person. So the person called the United States had a child corporation person named all caps Brandon Joe Williams. That's why all your bills don't have your name on it. It has the all caps name because it's an obligation or other security of the United States. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
So United States is the debtor, and these notes represent obligations of that debtor and shall be receivable by all national and member banks and Federal Reserve banks. Now look at this. They shall be redeemed in lawful money on demand at the Treasury Department of the United States. But what's funny is that if you look everywhere as to what the definition of lawful money is since 1933, they say that Congress has never defined it, which is the biggest crock of horseshit I've ever heard in my entire life, because the definition of lawful money is gold and silver coins. But you'll never, ever get gold and silver coins for your Federal Reserve notes. They won't do it. But they're supposed to. But their defense is that lawful money has never been defined by Congress, which is complete horseshit, by the way. So the way this works is you can manufacture your own cash, and the way you would do it is you would just take a check and you would just write bearer right here where it says state of payee. Right now, heading back to different types of now a blank endorsement is an endorsement that does not state a payee, right? So when you go and get your CarMax, your car loan, and the way that in which you sign is actually an endorsement, and the word endorsement is spelled differently than you think. The word endorsement is spelled like this, I-N-D-O-R-S-E-M-E-N-T, right? And the term endorsement, it's very simple. Take the word signature in your mind and replace it with the word endorsement, I-N-D-O-R-S-E-M-E-N-T, forever. Mm. It'll be a lot safer, okay? Because what you're doing, whenever there's any promise to perform at all, whether it's a promise to show up in a courtroom, which is what you get when you get a traffic ticket, whether it's a promise to pay, whether it's a promise to do absolutely anything at all whatsoever, you aren't signing anything. You are actually endorsing an instrument, a security instrument. Okay. You are, your signature is what brings that instrument into existence. Okay. It's a contract. The signature is your consent that brings the contract to life. Without your signature, that contract cannot be brought into life. It is a voluntary system. Your signature is the voluntary aspect that gives life to everything that occurs with you in this world. Okay. Now, if you replace the word signature with the word endorsement, you start to realize that you have all the power, because when you sign, you can sign in all sorts of various ways that lock down or change the contractual agreement. When you don't write a payee and you don't write any information and you just sign it like a dumbass, it's a blank check. It's a blank endorsement. You are releasing and creating that security, and you are releasing it without any conditions at all whatsoever. So now what happens is that the financial institution now takes that blank endorsed instrument. They write what's called a special endorsement on it, claiming the value of that promissory note. And I will show you some examples of banks writing special endorsements on promissory notes on mortgages. So you go and you sign up for a mortgage, and then they place the promissory note in front of you. You sign it with just your name and you hand it back to the bank. This is what the bank stamps on those documents. This is called a special endorsement. If you notice, it has some of the same terminology you'll see on a check, pay to the order of. It states the payee. They're saying the value of this instrument, which has been blank endorsed and released without any condition, we are now doing a special endorsement claiming the value of this instrument, and the person who the proceeds of the value of this instrument will be paid to is the following: Wells Fargo Bank, NA, or for this one, Home Point Financial Corporation. Now, they use this term without recourse. What is without recourse? Without recourse is a legal term meaning that no one party has no legal claim against another party. It means that a party cannot sue another party or cannot obtain adequate relief even if a lawsuit moves forward. You cannot sue anyone for any alleged injury or else cannot obtain any relief even if lawsuits are filed.
So they stamped this on after the fact.
Yep.
And then somehow, and so they're retroactively without the buyer's knowledge for the most part.
Like, no, for the all part, for the entire part. Yes.
So that's unbelievable. And then if I tried to sue them, like for example, for my home mortgage, so then I cannot take them.
No. That's not. So what they're doing, okay, I'll get to the next part.
It's like they're giving themselves, you know, indemnity against lawsuits with this stamp that they're putting on afterwards. So
no. So what they're doing is they're taking that promissory note. They're taking that promissory note of which you signed with a blank endorsement. They're placing the special endorsement on it. And then what they do is they write what's called an application for notes, collateral required. It comes from 12 USC 412. And they go to what's called the Federal Reserve Discount Window. You can see here, it has its own website, right? Federal Reserve Discount Window. Now, what is the Federal Reserve Discount Window? And I'm going to show you. Okay. This is a website. Anyone can type in Federal Reserve Discount Window Master Account and Services Database. And you can go to Existing Access and Request for Access. And you can see every single bank in the whole country or even the world, possibly, I don't know, that has access to the Federal Reserve Discount Window. For example, if I wanted to type in American Express.
I just have to say, I do love the discount window because we all know that the banks are getting to the money first and screwing the rest of us. And I love that, yeah, they're getting in early, the discount window.
You'll see how I'm going to explain to you. I'm going to explain to you how it works, and I'm going to explain how you can actually be the one to get paid from the window and not them.
Oh,
okay.
All right.
So the banking institution that has discount window access in relation to American Express is called American Express National Bank. They've had window access since October 17th, 1994, and they are headquartered in Sandy, Utah, and their reserve bank of the 12 different banks is San Francisco. And do they have federal deposit insurance? Yes, they have FDIC, and you can see that here. Now, if you want to see people who have currently requested access, and they may or may not have been approved, you can go to the Requests for Access section. And you can see here, like Kraken Financial in Cayenne, Wyoming is pending. They're asking for tier 3 access. You can see this one here, Custodia Bank Incorporated has been rejected for tier 3 access. You can see all the different banks or credit unions that are all requesting for Federal Reserve discount window access. And you can also type in an institution name up top if you would like to search for one. Okay. Now, the way that works is, they take your original promissory note, which is a negotiable instrument and does have the full value of that instrument. They write an application for notes, and then it says here that there has to be some collateral security offered in exchange for the Federal Reserve notes. The collateral security thus offered shall be notes, drafts, bills of exchange, or acceptances, blah, 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 blah. So they're offering, they're claiming that after you do a blank endorsement and release that promissory note without any conditions, they claim the value of that promissory note using the special endorsement. And then the without recourse is in relation to giving it to the Federal Reserve via the Federal Reserve discount window. So once they get the Federal Reserve notes back from the Federal Reserve, they never have to pay back the loan that they got from the Federal Reserve. So they get the free money. Now they get free money based off of the entire maturity value of the note. So if the note is a car note and it says 6% interest for 5 years, and the final sum that will be paid on a $30,000 car note is going to be, let's say, $41,000 to 5 years, the value of that note is the full $41,000. Hmm. So you bought a $30,000 car, and when you signed that note, they were paid $41,000. They give the institution, such as CarMax, the $30,000. They keep the $11,000, and then you have to pay another $41,000 to the banking institution. This is how banking really works. All mortgages are fraud. All car notes are fraud. All business loans are fraud. Everything, every single time you put your credit card into a credit card reader, you are manufacturing a promise to pay. That promise to pay is collateralized as a collateral security in exchange with the Federal Reserve window using something like a FedNow service. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, not FedNow. It's either FedNow, it's either FedNow or they use FedWire. I forget which one it is. But they use these digital settlement systems that instantaneously collateralize your promissory note, and then they get paid the full. So every time you use your credit card, you're already paid for whatever it is that you're buying instantaneously once you sign the receipt, or really even you don't need to sign the receipt, because the chip on your card is actually an e-signature. So your digital signature is embedded into that chip. And if you read your card member agreement, that signature is defaulted on every single promissory note manufactured on the account. So every time you use your credit card, you've already paid. Every time you sign a promissory note, you've already paid. You've actually overpaid.
Yeah.
So now, how does that work for you? So it's very simple, right? You can do all of these same kinds of special endorsements yourself when you sign original documents. So you can go get yourself a house, and on all the documents, you're not going to sign anything. You're going to endorse them. You're not going to do a blank endorsement. You're going to do a special endorsement, and you're going to write, without recourse, pay to the order of : Brandon Joe Williams in all capital letters. Below that, you're going to put by : and then you're going to write a line, and you can do this with a pen or you can do it with a stamp. You can do it however you want. This is where you sign your name or your initials. This is a signature. This whole thing is an endorsement. Below that, you're going to write Brandon Joe Williams, and then whatever you want. It could be a funder. It could be endorser. It could be, you know, attorney in fact. It could be whatever it is you want to write here. It's not that important, but you're going to write some sort of title or position in relationship to this endorsement, right? And I'm going to show you some more examples. So you can see here, here's some more examples. Without recourse, pay to the order of JP Morgan Chase Bank. This is a JP Morgan Chase mortgage. Title, attorney in fact, Gloria San Miguel. She's the warehouse leading representative, and she's the one who endorsed this document on behalf of JP Morgan Chase Bank, NA. This one here, without recourse, paid to the order of Lakeview Loan Servicing LLC. This was signed by Julio L. D. Cocia, Senior Vice President. And if you request the processed documents after they were processed from your mortgage company through a FOIA request, you can get your hands on the documents and you can ask them for any original, you need to see the original special endorsement that was written by the financial institution, or you can also ask for what's called an allonge. I'll show you an example of an allonge. Here is an allonge right here. Allonge to note. Now, what does that mean?
A-L-L-O-N-G-E, allonge. Okay. Spell it out for the people that are just listening.
An allonge is a slip of paper affixed to a negotiable instrument, such as a bill of exchange, for the purpose of receiving additional endorsements for which there may not be sufficient space on the bill itself. So let's say you have a promissory note and it's like, well, I can't endorse this. There's not enough room. You would attach a piece of paper called an allonge. And you can see here, the allonge has all the same information: without recourse, pay to the order of, executed by, in favor of, date, amount, everything you'd see on a check. It's all the same information, right? But a lot of times there is space on the original note or bill of exchange, and they just stamp it on there. So what you see often is you'll see a stamp, and the stamp has all this information, and then they hand sign the byline. That's how I do mine, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's the actual signature, okay? So if you want to be like really, really crazy and you want to do it by the books, even though no one knows how to do any of this, they don't even know what they're doing. These people who write these things, they have no clue what they're doing, right? You would have a stamp and it just says pay to the, it says without recourse, pay to the order of your name in all capital letters. And then below that, it would be by colon line. And then below that, it would say Brandon Joe Williams, comma, attorney in fact. That would be the whole stamp. And you would, boom, you would stamp that down on the paper, and then you would take a separate color inked pen just so that you have a really good, obvious notion, the fact that this is not part of the stamp and it was actually hand signed, and you would hand sign the byline. That's how I do mine, right? Mm-hmm. And by doing that, what you're doing is you're saying, I am not releasing or endorsing this negotiable instrument using a blank endorsement. It's a special endorsement. So the only thing they can do is they can go to the Federal Reserve window and they can bring back those funds from that transaction, and they can only bring them to one place, to you. Mm-hmm. So if you buy a house for $300,000 and it's a 30-year loan and it's fixed at 5% interest rate, and it, you know, all in all, after 30 years, it's going to be $520,000, you are brought back $520,000, and then you pay the seller of the house the $300,000, and you pocket the $210,000 additional. So you actually literally make money buying a house.
Wow.
Now, if they don't do that, if they decide they want to steal that negotiable instrument, when you sign or endorse a negotiable instrument with a blank endorsement, they aren't stealing it. You are releasing it without, you are tendering that instrument. You are offering that instrument without any stipulation or condition. When you do a special endorsement, there is conditions and stipulations, and you own that instrument permanently. So if they do anything with it, or if they take the money, or if they exchange it with the Federal Reserve and they steal that money, it's called purloining negotiable instruments. Purloining negotiable instruments, Title 18, and it is a massive felony, and you can actually sue them for like 25 years in prison.
Wow! So I got to ask, have you put this into practice? Have you tried this specific?
Yes. So I have a law firm, Williams and Williams LawFirm.com, and you can go there and you can go to current and previous litigation, and you can see all of the current litigation that we are involved in involving this subject. I specialize in only this subject. Okay. And you can see the complaint, the civil cover letter, the summons, and everything for free. I have it available on Dropbox. You can click here. All my cases have all the initial documentation here. And then if you would like to look up all of the dockets and all of the current activity on my cases, you're going to go to pacer.uscourts.gov, which I have a link right here, and you're going to open up a free Pacer account. You can take the case numbers from my cases, which are located right here. You can plug it into Pacer, and you can see every single filing going into every single one of my cases. It's 10 cents per page to download anything from a docket using Pacer. If you go to Recap, Free Legal Project. Recap is a comes from the Free Law Project. It's called Recap. Recap is a thing that you can actually place into your browser as an extension. And anytime anyone downloads anything off of Pacer, it gets put into Recap. And then anything available in Recap is free.
Nice. Excellent. Wow. This is amazing. So, all right. So then...
I'm going all the way back to the beginning. I told you I was going to tell you how to be free in the system, okay?
Yes. Now,
you can sign.
Now we're getting close to our time window.
I know.
I'm going to wrap it up.
I'm going to wrap it up right now. So.
And I apologize to our audience. My baby's homesick, so I'm sorry. What's more? Go ahead, Brandon.
It's all good.
Sorry.
So the way it works is very, very simple. Everything on the side of the road that an officer is going to give you is some sort of performance contract or financial instrument. You are not signing that instrument. You are endorsing that instrument and bringing it into existence. You can make the value of that instrument payable to you. And if you use without recourse, they can't sue you. So they take when they give you a ticket and you sign it, they create a micro little lawsuit based out of that. If you sign the ticket without recourse, they can't open up the lawsuit. They can't enforce it. There's nothing they can do. There is nothing they can do. So if you're, I hate to say it, if you're drunk going 170 miles an hour and they pull you over and give you tickets, you sign it without recourse, there's no lawsuit.
Yeah,
there's no
awesome.
Enforcement. So you never actually have to perform because you never have to show up in court. They tell you, this is not an admission of guilt. This is just an agreement to show up in court, right? Well, there has to be a lawsuit in order to show up at court. When they accept it without recourse, there's no lawsuit, so there's no performance, so poof, it just vanishes.
That's amazing. Have you ever had a cop know what was going on and be like, oh, no.
They're starting to say that you have to, they're starting to get ahead of this a little bit because it's getting so big right now, because I teach this on a lot of platforms. I teach it, you know, just in the past month, I've probably had like 27 million listeners of exposure. So the way that—
The Lord's work, man.
Yeah, thank you. The way that it works is they're starting to catch on to it a little bit, but the problem is that they don't understand it. And they just go like, that's not your signature. You need to write your legal signature. But that's not even real. That doesn't even exist. There's no such thing as a legal signature. Every single time you are presented absolutely any instrument, you are actively breathing life into that instrument and bringing it into the world and into existence via an endorsement. Mm-hmm. The way in which you endorse is basically the contract or conditions associated with the birth of this contract. So the way that works is you can do a qualified endorsement, a special endorsement, a conditional endorsement, a restrictive endorsement, a special endorsement. There's even one, I don't even know how to pronounce it, amalgamous endorsement. I don't even know what the hell, that's like a really weird one that I don't think you're ever going to use. But there's these different ways of endorsing, and then you have without recourse, which is part of the endorsement technology, right? So endorsements are a technology, and when you understand how that technology works, free cars, free houses, no tickets, that's real freedom, because the way that the system works is it all works based off of a commercial transaction. If everything is commercial, that means everything is financial or negotiable instrument. That's true. It is. So if everything's a negotiable instrument, then the way in which you endorse determines exactly the way that contract will exist. And in my opinion, you can become a national and you can do all these things, which I do like and I have done, and I think it's fantastic. But for me, I feel like the true Jedi level is understanding the different types of endorsements and understanding the way negotiable instruments work. Because as a state national, they can still offer you contracts and you're arguing, and but when you understand negotiable instruments and financials, anything they give you, oh yes, sir, please give me as many, oh please give me as many infractions as you possibly can. You know, kick it up. How many do you need to take the rest of the day off, officer? Oh, I have to, you know, my quota is, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Fuck it. Write all of it on there. Right. Yeah. Right. Reckless driving, unsafe start, everything. Put it all down on there, all the way down, so that you can go home to your family right now. And I will be more than happy to accept it right now. Accept that ticket without recourse. There you are, officer. Hope you have a great day. He goes home for the day. You don't have to do shit. Everyone wins.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So
to me, that's real freedom. That's real freedom.
Absolutely. No, this is unbelievable. Again, this is why I guarantee people are going to be over the moon hearing this too. And it's going to accelerate these cops catching on, I'm sure, because I guarantee people are going to they're going to assuredly do it as soon as they hear this.
Well, I've heard a lot of police stations and forces, they're having a hard time finding people to work. And I think part of the reason is because a lot of this information is getting out there. And I think a lot of even officers are questioning things and wondering things. And, you know, I feel like the real power in all of this is not arguing with the police officers. The real power in this is getting the police officers to start asking questions. You want to clear out, you want to clean out the police department, get the police to start asking questions. Spark their curiosity. Because what happens is now they go back to their police department and they're asking their buddies. And now it's this internal quote unquote virus of curiosity. Once the virus of curiosity is internalized into a group, it can do tremendous amounts of damage. It's not damage. It's actually beautiful. It's God's work, essentially, what you're doing.
Yeah, beautiful destruction. Well, so we were going to talk about a new document. I don't think we're going to have time today. But again, always happy to have you back on if you want to come back on to discuss this. But
yeah.
In the meantime, Tell everybody where they can find you. Of course, onestupidfuck.com, but yep. Anywhere else you want them to go. As you mentioned, if people want to look into this, I'm happy to have Brandon back on to talk about this in more detail, but you mentioned you just dropped a new document people can find on your website about freeing yourself from IRS debt. I'm sure it's too bad I didn't have you on before April 14th, but what are you going to do?
No, it's all good. So I just did a screen share again. If you want to approve that, I'll show that. Sorry. I have 6 minutes. I will rapidly use those 6 minutes to my best of my ability. So if you go to the Nation of the Amnesty Coalition page on my website. Now, obviously, these are very powerful documents. So I do recommend that you do a lot of research and make sure you understand these documents before you use them. They are free. If you go all the way down to the bottom, I have a couple documents. The newest one that was just released yesterday is basically, if you look in the Internal Revenue Manual, you will see this section. And it says, it's right here, okay, in the opening statement section. Section 3.8.45.5.10.1 of the Internal Revenue Manual states, and you can look this up online and it'll show you this. It's very easy to find. Bill of exchange. If a bill of exchange or registered bill of exchange is received from a taxpayer, which has a special definition, by the way, authorizing the campus to settle their account through Fedwire, send everything received to the following address, right? So when a bill of exchange is an unconditional order to pay, when the IRS sends you a bill means bill of exchange, all you do is you just write that special endorsement on the face of the instrument. Now check this out. 3.114. Oh yeah, look at this one. Super powerful. Look at this. This is UCC 3-114. If an instrument contains contradictory terms, typewritten terms prevail over printed terms, and this is the kicker. This is so fucking beautiful, it'll make you cry. Handwritten terms prevail over both, and words prevail over numbers. So when you take that bill of exchange and you hand write with a pen a special endorsement on the face of the bill of exchange, your handwritten special endorsement becomes the senior conditions associated with that bill of exchange. And then you use this document and you authorize the campus to settle the account using a bill of exchange that is processed through Fedwire. So you just send their own bill right back to them, and then they will discharge that bill and bring it down to a zero.
Wow, that's awesome. I love it, man. This is like, yeah, this is it. I don't even know. It's like you get a law boner every time you're on here.
Oh, dude, I've got a law boner all day long. Well, I'm like a walking gas station boner pill. I'm like a walking Rhino 9000, man. I'm telling you,
damn,
it's the best thing in the world.
That is incredible. That's absolutely incredible. Well, thank you again, Brandon J. Williams. You are always a treasure, man. So again, guys, onestupidfuck.com is the website. You can find all of his information there. Anything else you want to talk about? Again, don't be a slave to your clients. Love is a battery, the two books. I know you have another book you're working on now. Do you want to give us a quick minute?
I shelved it. It's too... That I was working on that, and then I found all this stuff. So that's going to be, it's a book on martyrdom and escapism. So that's not a priority for me right now. I am like balls deep in all this stuff. And every day is like waking up on Christmas morning at 8 years old. So I am not going to be getting back into that book probably anytime soon. Litigation is really where all my attention is right now. So if you guys want to see some real deep shit, get yourself a Pacer account. I'd love to come back on the show and talk about litigation, how to litigate, how to file litigation.
Absolutely, man. You have no kind of invite. Like, yeah, thank you. We'll schedule it. We'll talk
in the next couple of weeks, and we can schedule another one. And I can come back and we can talk about litigation, filing litigation, how the litigation procedure works step by step, filing the complaint, getting the summons served through a process server, and then they're going to file whatever they're going to file. It's called a flurry of motions, and then you respond to that, and motioning the court. We can get into all sorts of good stuff on that as well.
Love it. And God, please don't have my child homesick so we can actually go on and not have to cut it off every time.
That's okay. No problem.
Footsteps. All right. Yeah, well, no problem. Good, sir. Thank you for joining us. Thanks, guys. Everybody, Brandon Joe Williams, a leader, a hero in law boners. All right. For me, Brian McWilliams.
Rhino 9000.
Yeah, from Brandon
Rhino 9000.
All right. Keep those electric eyes on me, babe, and keep that ray gun to my head. Later.